What are your plans for Thanksgiving? I'll tell you about mine. We're going to do an easy talker about travel this Thanksgiving 2019 in podcast 876, the Bob Davis Podcasts. So I'm going to be taking a trip, and I'm going to talk about the course that I'm going to be taking for that trip, and I'm going to suggest that if you're planning on traveling for Thanksgiving, let me give you a suggestion, and that suggestion is, before you go, think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. So it isn't real cold here yet. We've had sort of a cold spell. It's warming up now, which is great, but there's still issues. People's faucets haven't been properly shut off. You still have maybe some furnace issues because you haven't used it in a while. When it comes to keeping all these systems running right, especially these days at home or at work, your business, whatever, when you have plumbing or heating problems, you want reliable service, and of course, that is Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. So if you're in St. Paul, might be a good idea to have them come check everything before you leave. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul, and they go metro-wide from St. Paul. So that means Plymouth, it means St. Louis Park, it means Minnetonka, it means Burnsville and Eagan, it means West St. Paul, South St. Paul, and it means Maple Grove and so forth. Ryan Plumbing and Heating is great, and as I said, they go back four generations, because when it comes to keeping all these systems operating these days, you need somebody that knows what they're doing, and you want quality service, and that is what it's all about, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. The thing about these new systems is they can be complex. So if you're in your 50s or 60s, maybe you think you know what to do, or your 40s, you might think you know what to do. The thing about these systems is, you know, doing it yourself, unless you know exactly what you're doing, might not be the best course of action, and that is why we check out Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Look for them online at ryanplumbing.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, I intend this as an easy talker podcast where I don't really prep. I just talk about it. This is a topic that I'm passionate about. That is travel. I don't fly. I don't get in lines at the airport during the holiday season. I don't take trains. I don't do any of that stuff. I like to drive, and I drive a Ford 2000 Super Duty E450 ambulance that I put all my audio gear in and all my camping gear and everything else, and then I just go. And I do not go on freeways or whatever you want to call them, expressways or tollways. I travel only on the back roads if I can avoid it. Sometimes there are times when you have to get on a freeway. I don't like getting on the freeway. Certainly I drive around on freeways here in town. But when it comes to travel across the country in a car or truck, I would prefer to be on the back roads, because this is where you actually see America. This is driving on the back roads is where you actually learn. And so it's something that I'm quite passionate about to talk about. So this Thanksgiving, if you're traveling by plane, this is not a podcast for you, because I won't go by plane. And I'll tell you how all this started. I've talked about this in other podcasts, but this all started because I used to go down to Chicago all the time, because my son lived in Chicago when he was young and I lived here. And so I would go down to Chicago every weekend, and I only work 4 days on the air. So I would drive on Thursday night. I would get off the air at midnight, and I would drive straight through to Chicago from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and be there on Friday morning to take him to school, and then to do hockey games and other stuff Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and then Monday during the day, I would drive back to Minneapolis. And at first I flew, and it was enormously expensive, and it got to the point where it was ridiculous because of all the time that it took. And one day, I think I was flying, and it just ended up taking forever. It took about 5 or 6 hours to get back to Minneapolis on the plane. And then once I got here, I had to take a bus or some ridiculous thing or that stupid train to get back to my house. And I just got disgusted with the whole thing. And I got myself an old Buick farm car, and I started driving that down there. And the thing that provoked me with my love of Crown Vicks was that I got tired of the left lane drivers on the way down on 94, and bought a used cop car because I knew at the time the cops all drove Crown Vics, and I knew that when I came over the top of the hill with the parking lights on in the Crown Vic on a, you know, a beautiful evening in the summer, that everyone would get out of the left lane. They would just get out of the way. So that was how I started driving down to Chicago, and I could get down there pretty quick. And so from there on, I basically got rid of flying on a plane. And ever since then, I've been in love with driving. And so for quite a while, I would take the Crown Vic on these trips where I would go either out east or I would go out west. And that was how I did what I did. And then a good friend of mine who sold me the cop cars said, we got to get you an ambulance. And what I wanted was a van. I said, you know, I just want to get a van, finish it out so I could sleep rather than having to basically sleep with where I used to put the seat down, wrap myself in my jacket, and then go to sleep in the car in some Speedway or Flying J parking lot. So I got the ambulance, and I've done quite a lot of podcasts live from Podcast Command. So I can put all of my audio equipment in the van, the truck, the whatever you want to call it, the ambulance. I can put all of my, you know, supplies in there. And for people now, when I started doing this, there was no—I don't recall anybody that I knew that was, you know, driving around the country in a van. It's just in the last three, four years that this whole van conversion, school bus conversion, using, you know, or converting an old RV and making it look current has sort of taken hold. And there are people in this country who have quit their jobs, sold everything, gotten rid of their houses, and started traveling around the country. Even, and I interviewed, if you want to check it out, I'll put a link to the Nomad Yoga family. They were also kind of at the forefront of this. He called it over-roading or something like that, over-country or over, I forget the word. And I thought that was an unusual. I said, that must be a Canadian word. He goes, oh no, that's what they call it. And this is this idea of just getting rid of everything and traveling the country. And I know a couple people doing it, and it's a very freeing thing. I could do whole podcasts about it because I have been out for months at a time, more than a month at a time, and travel gets a little tiring. I don't want to get into that in this podcast, but this is kind of a salute to all the people that are sort of doing this. And also to all the people that are going to go see grandmother and travel across hill and dale, and or their friends or their brother-in-law that lives in Michigan or Kansas or, I don't know, Wisconsin, Iowa. Usually around Thanksgiving, people kind of take to the roads, and I will be doing the same thing. But I have another reason for doing this, and this is my sort of commentary on the people that are just out. One of the things I notice with people that are doing the school bus conversions, some of the van life people, is they seem to want to do this adventure thing where they live in the federal park, the state parks and the national parks. I don't know why I call them federal parks, but I do. National parks, or these incredible vistas that they find boondocking, which is just sort of camping someplace without being hooked up to any electric or anything like that, as opposed to, you know, staying at the KOA or staying at some campground that's that has electrification. They seem to just want to go find adventure, or they're what they're doing is the thing where they work in different places, and when they get a job. So there's some traveling nurses that I follow. The husband and wife are both nurses, and they get jobs and they drive to that town and they stay in a campground and they work at the hospital. There's a great documentary, and I don't remember if it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime, about a blackjack player that is talking about these advantage blackjack players, which I have no interest in. But this is actually a really great documentary, because apparently in the blackjack community, there was a period recently where the card counters were pretty much out of business. And they call them advantage players. These are people who count cards. And after the whole, who is the guy who had the whole team that was doing card counting? They made a movie about it. a while back. And after that, there was a whole thing about how advantage players were a thing of the past and blackjack wasn't a game anymore and blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently that's not true, that there are guys who've developed systems so that they can count cards effectively, and there's all these different plays that they can do, and they wear disguises and they get kicked out of casinos and on and on and on. Don't need to go through that whole history. But one of these players, at one point, he was one of these guys who's brought in as a guest of the big casinos in Vegas, and they play their Highline players, and people gather around, and they bring people in. And when they start winning, if they win too much, eventually the casinos basically throw them out and bar them. And so because he got barred from all these Vegas casinos and Reno casinos, he decided, I'm going to buy an RV and I'm going to travel around the country and go to every casino in the country and see how much money I can make. Fantastic documentary, because it shows him doing all this stuff and he's got the RV and so forth. But most of the people doing the RV thing are they're either retired and they just live in parks, or they live at campgrounds, or they are younger and they're doing odd jobs, or they're younger and they have enough money to get by and do and go to all these places. I travel for a different reason. A, I do not like flying. B, I have found that driving across the country really gives you an idea of what is going on. And as you know, I do a lot of politics and society. This is not a politics and society. This podcast is about travel, but this is the reason I travel, because this is the way that you connect with people. And I'm not even suggesting that you go and go talk to people. It's not like I'm going to go interview people. I might, but for the most part, it's not about interviewing people. It's about getting the feel, getting the lay of the land, driving through a place and kind of getting an idea of what's going on. But based on what you see and feel and hear when you go into restaurants and maybe a little bit of talking to people here and there, right? And that is why I travel, because it gives me a sense of the country. The other thing is, we did a lot of travel when I was a kid. We would drive back and forth to Iowa from Chicago. My sister was in the hospital in Iowa. We would drive back and forth down to Columbus, Ohio, where my grandparents lived. And then eventually we started driving down to Florida. So from the time that I was really a baby, there was quite a lot of travel. And I can remember traveling when all I can remember about those trips is it was dark and I was tired. And I can remember being in the back seat and seeing the front seat and my parents, you know, by the glow of the instrumentation. And then as I got older, we would go. And of course, as a family, we would say, oh, we're driving through Georgia, what's going on here? We're driving through Florida, what's going on here? And we're driving through, Tennessee or Kentucky, Rock City, and all these places that were tourist traps at the time, and all these places by the side of the road. So for me, traveling via car or, you know, what I have now, which is the ambulance, is just a really great experience. And this is why I do it. And so I want to talk about, in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk about travel trips, such as they are, but I'm going to do my route, because I'm going to go from Minneapolis to Virginia. Usually I go down through Missouri over to Tennessee. This time I'm going through the heart of Trump country, Illinois, Indiana, and central and southern Ohio, West Virginia, and finally into Western Virginia. So because I'm traveling, when I deal with my clients, how do I get paid, right? Because they can't give me a check. Well, but they can, because I am a ReliaFund client. And if I have a client that wants to pay by check, they can use the check payment button on the BobDavisPodcast.com. And that is put up there by ReliaFund. If you have a business and you do business through your website, listen up. This is for you. If you're developing back office systems for your business that has any purpose at all, then listen up, because this message is for you. ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. So all of that back office stuff, all of that e-commerce development, what ReliaFund does is integrate with your systems seamlessly. They work with banks. They work with all of the payment processing systems and software. They can do things like, for example, with QuickBooks, they can set it up so that when you send somebody an invoice that says, click on this to pay, they can do that. There's no long-term contracts. They're secure and technology-focused. 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. Or check them out online at reliafund.com. Or you can click on the ReliaFund banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to their contact page. You can tell them what your deal is, and they'll get back to you. That's how I found ReliaFund. Well, I am taking my printer with me on the trip. I take the whole office with me, and of course, I hate paying for print cartridges because they're so expensive. Where do I get my print cartridges? From Cartridge World. 30% off compared to the big box stores. They're guaranteed to perform as good as new, and they do. Free delivery on qualifying orders. You can also get a printer if you qualify. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. 763-420-6632, or click on that amazing Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So let me get to the beginning of the trip, which is we're going to start in Minnesota. And one of the things I brought up the van life people, because one of the things I've noticed is that the younger van life people never talk about maps. And I assume that they're using Google Maps or the map feature on iPhones or whatever phone that you have, or they're using some sort of electronic, digital, whatever you want to call it, via internet mapping. And one of the things I've learned about using Google Maps in particular, but I'm sure it's also true with the Apple app, they're great for getting around town because they get you there by the quickest route. And you don't care how you get there. You just want to avoid the closures and you want to get from one side of town to the other as quickly as possible, right? So they're great for that. I have friends that don't even like them in town. I, as a rule, do not use those systems when I am traveling via car because I don't want to be rooted to my phone. I don't want to constantly be looking at the phone or being told where to go and how to go by the Google voice, so to speak, or the whatever the TomTom Go thing is on Apple. I don't like being told where to go, and so I don't use those. I use actual maps. I prefer the Rand McNally. Every time I go to AAA, and I'm not a member of AAA, but we get that's where our in Minnesota our licensing facilities are at AAA. So when I go to AAA, I always go to the little store. They have the suitcases and all the travel stuff. And before my trips, I always go over there and I say, oh, well, you know, maybe I can find some maps. My favorite maps are the plastic ones that are actually, they're the fold-up maps, but they're plastic. And so you buy them by the state, right? So you buy a Minnesota one, you buy wherever states you're going to be in, you can buy them by, they're expensive, but it's fun to buy those because they're plastic and you can use grease pencils and write on them and different things and then wipe it off later. And I like those. But the book ones, the various book maps are really the great kind. And there's also one of the best ones that I have, and I think I actually, that was on sale, and it's like a 2011, but the ones that are really great are the trucking maps because they are very detailed about bridge heights and, you know, the type of road and things of that nature. And of course, it's very important that you have up-to-date maps. So my Rand McNally that I'm using right now, this one is a 2019 Road Atlas, and this one was on sale for $7.95 at AAA, so I bought it, and we're going to start in Minnesota. So let me get past Missouri. Here's Minnesota. Now, I am in Minneapolis and St. Paul, so this is what I do. So when I'm driving, I've learned that if you are only working from the map, then you're going to have to stop every 20 or 30 miles and check the map because it's really easy to get confused when you're driving about where you are. And believe me, you think it wouldn't be, and I'm talking about back roads. So I don't just, it's not just, you know, I don't get off the freeway and go on four-lane state roads. I am often on two-lane county roads or state roads. And sometimes you have to cut over for 4 or 5 miles. And it gets pretty hairy, especially when you get into places like Tennessee or West Virginia or Southern Ohio, where you're dealing, or Virginia, the Blue Ridge Mountains, or any mountainous areas. West isn't so bad because out west you're dealing with vistas, literally. So back roads can go for hundreds of miles, basically. When you're out east, it's different, especially when you're in the mountains. And if you miss miss a turn, you end up in some godforsaken place that you have no idea where you are. So what I've taken to doing, and I started doing this on my last trip because I came back from Virginia through the Blue Ridge Mountains, and that was that whole mountain trip. I'll throw up some links for the blog on the website. So what I started to do was just take one of those reporter's notebook things, it's only about 3 or 4 inches wide, and it's normal like 8 by 11 length. It's about 11 inches long, about 4 inches wide, and this is how reporters take notes. And so I have a bunch of those, and I would literally write out the directions. So I would go through the map, and I would say, take this road to this road, take a right, take a road, they take this to here, take this to here, and so on. And this is how I navigate all over the whole country. Well, this time I decided, if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to do it before I leave, because you got to look at these maps a lot. And I've already found one mistake, actually, on this trip through Indiana. So again, my purpose in this trip is I want to drive across Trump country. So I want to be in really rural areas, primarily farm areas, small towns, from Minnesota through Iowa, all the way out across Illinois and Indiana and Ohio, dipping down across north central and south central and southeastern Ohio, and then crossing into West Virginia briefly actually it's not briefly, because I'm going to have to cut down through West Virginia as well, all the way down to Judy Gap, where I will come across into Virginia and then go up and across to Richmond, Virginia. So it's very interesting. So what I've done is I've gone through each state, and I've actually played out the route. So I'm going to just give it to everybody, and because I think it's kind of fun, and because I want to keep checking this. By the way, the other thing is I've taken this trip a bunch of times, so I don't want to keep going the same way that I went. I used to go down Highway 61 or 63 that goes down from in Minnesota down along the Wisconsin-Minnesota border and goes through Winona, and that is a beautiful drive. It's especially a beautiful drive in the summer or the fall, but this time I want to go west, and so what I will do is I will take 169 south all the way to Iowa, all the way through Iowa, all the way from Fort Dodge down to Thayer, and at Thayer, Iowa, I will pick up 34. So Iowa, so what this is generally straight down. 169 in Minnesota goes, angles down to the west slightly. Then in Iowa, it basically cuts straight south until you get to Burlington, and there I will pick up 34 east. So 34 east is going to take me all the way across the southern part of Iowa. So then I got to find Iowa. Hang on. There it is. It's so funny because I've done this so much, Iowa just pops out. It's really kind of funny. So yeah, coming down past Fort Dodge, eventually you come to 34, and you want to take 34 all the way over. You can also take 20 all the way over. One of the unique things about Iowa is that they have an excellent network of roads, and it's flat. So you don't have to worry too much about farm roads, because all their farm roads are well paved and it's pretty good. But I'm going to be taking 34 all the way across southern Iowa, all the way across into Illinois, and I will get into Illinois at Burlington, Iowa, and I'll come across the river there at Burlington. I might have to jump on a freeway there, and I will be picking up out of Burlington 94 South, which is a state Illinois road, and I'll be on that for a couple of miles, and then I'll jump on 116 East, which takes me through Peoria. And so now I got to go to Illinois. Hang on. Here we go. So Illinois is one of these long states. We have to flip the map, and we'll be down in the southern part. So we're going to be in between Springfield and Peoria. So we're going to be heading down and angling down all across Illinois rather, sorry, straight across through Peoria. We pick up 24 east, and we follow 24 east straight across Illinois to Indiana. This is unique because this is really farm. This is a part of Illinois that is absolutely desolate. It's almost like a desert in this part of Illinois. So we're going to go straight across Illinois, and then we're going to get to Indiana. In Indiana, I've already made some corrections. So let me just get to Indiana, which is fortunately just a few pages away from Illinois. And again, see, imagine having to do this while you're driving, because you're making these switches and switchbacks and turns. You don't have time to look at the map. So this is why I make this list. And if I want to refer to the maps, I can. So once you get into Indiana, I forget where we're going to go into Indiana, but we're going to be basically, 24 east to Logansport. So that would be, we're coming all the way across. So I'm going to actually bend down. Yeah, 24. So that comes in to Indiana at Sheldon, Illinois. And then you come across from Kentland and Goodland. And these are really small. This is very rural. Even if you're on 41 in Indiana, there's like places to visit. There's nothing. Monticello, Logansport. And at Logansport, there's a weird little switch where if I don't switch here to, let me just get a, it's kind of dark in here, so it's hard for me to see. And it's very, but this is kind of simulating the road conditions. If I don't jump on 124, if I keep staying on 24, which is a four-lane state road, I have to get on 124. And the reason for that is I want to pick up 33 when I get into Ohio. The reason I want to pick up 33 is 33 is the state road or U.S. highway that angles down. So I have to get on 124 and follow 124 all the way out to 33 at the border there, which is roughly Decatur, slightly east of Decatur as you come into Iowa. So that are Ohio. I keep calling Ohio Iowa. I don't know why I do that. So then when we get into Ohio, let me get to Ohio, Missouri, Montana, New York, Ohio. So there's two sides to Ohio, obviously north central, northern Ohio, and then southern Ohio. So we're going to be coming in at 33, on 33 rather, through central Ohio. So the idea here is this is the highway that actually, sort of angles down in Ohio. So I will be going 33 east south to, it's Wapakoneta. I would assume that's Wapakoneta, Ohio. And then you stay on at Marysville. So now we're getting into south central Ohio, 33 east through Columbus. And then you stay on 33 east all the way through Athens, which is interesting because Athens, my grandmother went to the University of Ohio, not Ohio State, but the University of Ohio at Athens. And Athens is a really cool little town. Stay on 33 and you're going to cross at Ravenswood, West Virginia. And there, I believe we have to jump on the interstate briefly. Let me just say why I'm going through Ohio in this fashion. I'm doing it because I am cutting right through this area of Ohio where supposedly Trump turned all of these Democrats to vote Republican. And so this is, some of these places, North Columbus, but when you stay out of the main towns, this is sort of the heart of Republican Ohio. And so I'm going to be driving all the way through the heart of Republican Ohio, and I'll let you know about my observations. And again, this is why I'm doing this. And I'll give you, before we end the podcast, I want to tell you why I'm being careful. But I will come into Ohio. I'll come into West Virginia, rather, at Ravenswood, West Virginia, at 33. So we stay on 33. This is a U.S. highway, and this goes to I-77S. I'm going to have to jump on the interstate briefly south and then pick up 33 again. I'll be on the interstate for about 10, 20 miles at the most. And then I stay on 33 east to Harmon, West Virginia. And then I pick up 55, which I believe is a state road, to Seneca Rocks. And then 28 south to 33 again. Again, these are mountain roads rolling through West Virginia. So I pick up 33 at Judy Gap and 33 to the Virginia border. And then down there by Judy Gap, which is southeastern West Virginia, I'm going to, get into Virginia. And I will again stay on 33 east at the Virginia border, take 33 to Harrisonburg, Virginia, stay on 33 to Ashland, and then I'll jump on 64 to my destination. So that is the plan. And the great thing about plans is you don't have to stay with the plan. The return, I'll probably talk more about that. The reason I'm doing this in this podcast is because I don't want to waste the travel podcast with a bunch of explanations about where I am. So you can listen to this one and you can kind of track where I'm going, and you'll understand why I'm going the way I'm going. The only caveat here is if the weather is really bad and really cold, I don't want to be on mountain roads in West Virginia and parts of Ohio and Virginia if it's cold and snowing and icy. So the possible alternate route would be to go ahead and stay on 169 and then come down through Missouri almost to the Arkansas border, and then cut across the very top of Arkansas, and then go on into Tennessee and come all the way through Tennessee, which will probably be a little bit warmer than the northern part of the country. But I think the weather should be pretty good. It's been in the 40s and 50s. If we get lucky and get a warm week next week, we'll be okay. So this is the way out. So this is the outbound plan. And then for the return, the inbound to Minnesota plan, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll have to think about it. I have found in general that for me, back roads travel is a little cheaper because you're not going 70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour. It's also less boring because you see more and you can stop into towns. If you go through a town and you kind of like the way it looks, you can turn around and go back, or you can stop at a diner. You can stop and get coffee. You can just stop and look at stuff. Thank you to Parts by Nate for giving me an app that helps me locate plugins for electric vehicles. Hopefully I can use those to plug in if I'm just at some location so I don't have to run the engine all night. I can just pull into some Tesla or whatever EV station and plug the truck in and stay there. We'll see how that goes. But hopefully I can stay at a state park. There will be some Walmart parking lots. There will probably be a couple of campgrounds. And there's going to be some speedways and Flying J's and some TAs. I love truck stops. A lot of people are like, don't go to truck stops. You'll find out that I love truck stops. But on the return, I don't know. There's a lot of options on the return. I could go further south, way further south, and come back through below Tennessee, come back through Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas, which might be kind of cool this time of the year. And we'll see. But the backroads travel saves you money. Sometimes it saves time because you're able to angle better, but sometimes it doesn't. You do have to be careful that you stay on track. And I'm amazed at the number of people that say, oh, be careful because it's really dangerous. I've never had a problem. And I think part of it is that I'm driving an ambulance. But I think the other part of it is I kind of watch what's going on. And then finally, this is going to be mostly daytime travel just because, especially in mountains, I don't want to be on slippery mountain roads when it's 28 degrees in the middle of the night. So this is going to be mostly daytime travel, although there'll be some, you know, through Iowa and parts of the Midwest, the roads are flat, so I'll probably be able to drive at night. But when I get out east, it's going to be mostly daytime driving. So that's the plan for the trip. And it's also sort of the setting the stage for the stuff I'll be talking about and what I'm going to be looking for. So for people that are doing the van life thing and the schoolie conversion thing and the RV thing, Mobile Podcast Command is not an RV. Mobile Podcast Command is a 20-year-old ambulance that is pretty rustic. I sleep in a hammock. I bring my camp stove with me. I have a cooler that keeps my stuff in it. I just put new carpeting in it, so it's got nice, clean, fresh carpeting in there. I got a remnant and cut it and put it in there. And it's primitive. It's not really, if you can plug it in, you've got heat. I have space heaters. I can run safe space heaters rather than actually running a gas heater. If not, then I just let the engine run all night because it's a diesel. I have an exhaust fan. It's an ambulance, remember? And I'll just pull into a truck stop and let the truck run all night and sleep. And I've become quite comfortable with that. So this sleeping in a hammock and eating out of a camp stove is a little rustic. It is not this comfortable fan. There's no sink. There's no shower. If I want to take a shower, I have to do yoga and go do yoga and then take a shower at the yoga place. Or I got to pay $9 at the Flying J and take a shower at the showers at the Flying J, which are quite luxurious, by the way, or the TA, or one other truck stop that I decide to stop in. Some of these truck stops, especially in the heavily trafficked areas, are really beat up. So when you go into certain parts of Ohio, especially if you're going across the northern tier of Ohio, you stop at truck stops in Cleveland or south of Akron, and you're going to get a heavily trafficked truck stop. So just be prepared for that. I do not stay in hotel motels. Never do I do that because I think it's highway robbery. I suppose I think I did once when I was traveling out west, and I'd been out for quite some time. I said, you know what, I'm staying in a hotel tonight because I can't. I got to take a shower and I need to sleep in a bed. So that's kind of what it is. I certainly would like to think, and I'm going to talk about this on the trip, about the next mobile podcast command unit and what it's going to be and what I should get. And because I do think, in terms of heavy travel, that it would be a good idea to have something a little bit more comfortable. So we'll leave that for the trip. So that's the plan, and that's what I'm going to do, coming up very soon, and take you along with me. And yeah, I will be driving across Ohio, where a lot of the trade stuff has been coming up and manufacturing stuff. There's lots of talk about foreign manufacturing with President Trump, and that means some companies are bringing their manufacturing back to the U.S. If this is you, you need a great American manufacturing company. Remember DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. Okay, you guys, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Spotify, iTunes, TunedIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Stitcher.com, and more. Appreciate the likes and shares on social media. Thanks for listening to Podcast 876, Travel Plans for Thanksgiving. I hope that you will have a safe and fun trip, whatever you're doing. Road trips are great. And I highly recommend it, road trips, especially if you're doing the back roads. You just got to plan the trip beforehand. I do want to say I have a YouTube channel, the Bob Davis Podcast on YouTube. I never use it except when I'm traveling. So I will be shooting stuff on the iPhone. I don't have, you know, a DSLR camera or any of that. There's no video production. I'll just be shooting short videos along the way. So you can check out the YouTube channel and you'll see those YouTube videos of me doing whatever it is that I'm doing. So if I'm cooking, pan frying a steak in the Walmart parking lot, you know, I'll get a video of it and put it up on YouTube. So hopefully every day I'll have some kind of YouTube video. That is the plan. Thanks for listening to Podcast 876, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Sometimes I feel the fear of uncertainty stinging.